And now we have Dr. Laura Andrico. She's the Robert and Kathleen Scanlon Endowed Chair in Values-Based Healthcare at the School of Nursing and Health Studies at Georgetown University. She's a nurse, teacher, and scholar in the area of environmental health. And this summer, she was honored by the White House with the Champion of Change Award for her work in climate change and public health.
Woohoo!
That's awesome. It was great to have a nurse recognized on such a broad scale for work like that. And she's also the co-chair of our research work group in Annie. So, Laura.
So, I represent the fourth and final group, last 15 minutes. Thank you for hanging in there. Hopefully you'll find that these groups are intersected, as Katie said earlier. We have our own purposes, but we do mesh very well, and the reason why I received the award was because of my advocacy work with the American Lung Association and Healthcare Without Harm on climate change, so Clean Air Act advocacy, writing op-eds, those kinds of things. So we were commenting that we just don't have enough time to talk about everything we've accomplished, and it's very exciting to sit here personally as one of the founding members to see all the work that has been done over the last several years. So I'm going to talk a bit about research. Again, I'm highlighting some of the work that we've done, where we've come from. As Katie mentioned, the Institute of Medicine report, Nursing Health and the Environment, talked very specifically about the need to develop a group of nurse researchers that really focused on environmental exposures and the impact on health. An appreciation that you don't have to be a nurse researcher per se, you don't have to have your PhD like Beth, but that there are meaningful ways to get involved in the identification of problems, assessing risk, looking at investigating and data analysis, as well as disseminating this knowledge and using it in practice. So how do we translate this evidence into practice? How do we take the knowledge that we have and talk to policymakers? I'm actually going to be on the Hill on Thursday to talk about the Clean Air Act and carbon pollution standards. So how do we take this information and make it meaningful to people, general public, including policymakers? So the IOM recommended in regards to research that there needed to be an establishment of research priorities that are used by funding agencies. We'll talk a little bit about our successes. Clearly, there's never enough money, and there's never enough funding for the work we want to do, but we're moving forward with that. And strengthen efforts to disseminate research findings, and then building the knowledge base for nursing practice and education in the area of environmental health. We had a round table back in 2002, and we talked specifically about research recommendations and how we might move nursing forward. One is the establishment of a journal in environmental health nursing, and those of you that know we've been working on this a while will be thrilled to know that I talked to Rutledge today and have a meeting set up with them to talk about our proposal. And this journal is going to be designed with the four work groups have an emphasis on all of those areas, including practice, research, education, and policy and advocacy. We also looked at establishing a mechanism to catalog existing publications. We do have this online, but it became clear to me that I needed to help update this. Wade Hill is my co-chair. He's from Montana State University, and that's going to be on our next agenda on our research work group call. Disseminating environmental health nursing research at professional meetings. APHA, we've always been successful. Interestingly, the Nursing Society meetings, we have not been as successful in getting our abstracts accepted, although we did push for a pre-conference workshop, which was accepted by MNRS, I think it was last year, Midwest Nursing Research Society. Unfortunately, they didn't have, they had, I think, 10 people sign up, but they needed 20. So we ended up not being able to move forward with that but we're still looking at working into the nursing research societies, which tend to be a little bit more traditional and conservative in the research that they accept for presentation. Establishing a mechanism to catalog grants and awards in environmental health nursing, or that has a strong nursing component to it, we're working on that. You'll be surprised, I hope, by the number of research projects nurses are currently involved with and some of the work that we've been able to publish and get done in the past. So we've talked about Wingspread. It's a phenomenal facility, but it's also it was very cool to be there, knowing that the precautionary principle had been developed there years ago and that we were, in fact, nurses sitting there creating our own statement. And we talked about the alliance guiding the nursing profession by strengthening education, advancing research, incorporating evidence-based practice, and influencing policy to promote healthy people and healthy environments. And so research had a very strong presence within that statement. So what do we do with the research work group? We, too, meet, I don't even remember what Tuesday it is anymore, or is it a Thursday now? I don't remember. Is it Tuesday? Thank you. we meet once a month. We have evolved into being part of the call is to support our current researchers, looking at surveys, talking about challenges and barriers to getting some of the research done, but really helping enable and empower nurses to solve those environmental challenges through the creation of new knowledge and research. Some of the other research work group activities includes a creation of a research article database. This is our website. If you want to learn more, please go there. You'll learn about all four work groups. You'll learn about lots of exciting things that are going on in various areas, including climate change and chemical policy. We fairly recently wrote a letter to NINR advocating a research conference. We actually did get some funding that specifically talks about having a nurse researcher on the proposal. I don't remember the number of it, but I'm actually in the process of working with another non-nurse researcher for an R01, looking at environmental justice issues and BPA exposures in low-income communities, and this was their choice of something to be studied. And they have a very high rate of BPA in the southeast wards within the District of Columbia where I work, and so we've done the preliminary work, and I think it's looking very, very positive that we're going to get that funding. But the researcher said, oh, this is NINR, and they want a nurse researcher. This is perfect. I'm like, I know. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. National Library of Medicine, we submitted a grant application to sort of expand our capacity to be a resource center. We did not get it, but we're not giving up. So, try and try again. Environmental Health Nursing and Research Retreat was conducted in the summer of 2011. Through some grant funding, and I've got some pretty cool photos of that, where a group of nurse researchers got together, some students working on their dissertations. So we had seasoned researchers mentoring new researchers, environmental health researchers, and it was in a setting where you had your own place and you could contemplate with the mountains and the lake and do some writing and have nurses support one another. And a little bit of wine at night helped, too. We had a meeting. We did meet, as I said, with NINR and NIEHS. Barb Sattler and Pat Butterfield, I think, were the two nurses from our organization that met. There is an RFP that's been established since 2012 that looks really specifically at supporting nurses' work in that area of environmental health. Since the IOM report in 95, there's been a big increase in the number of studies conducted and articles published by nurses in the field of environmental health. I'm not going to read this list, but a wide range of topics, methylmercury, fish consumption and risk communication, environmental justice issues, tobacco smoke and learning disabilities, fracking, climate change. Actually, I don't have green hospitals and sustainability. AJN did a cover article on that as well. And so we are fairly prolific and getting better every year. So on the top right is the little room that you had, a little cabin with your writing space, beautiful views in Montana. And as I said, there were sessions where we worked together and problem solved with different challenges that nurses had in their research projects. We talked in general about research. We did some speed dating. So we went from table to table talking to folks about some of their environmental health research issues. And then we really had spent time just coalescing as a group of nurse researchers. And these relationships remain. Nina on the far left just asked me to speak at the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association, and pretty amazing, and Ruth is here, they did their whole annual meeting on ecocentric nursing, so how we can care better for the earth and the environment and people in the same time. It was an awesome conference. So this is just one example of how nursing research is being utilized. There was an article written by Sandy Coons on risk communication in working with methylmercury toxicity and fish consumption with a particular focus with Native Americans. And this was incorporated into a docket, EPA docket, that was submitted by the National Wildlife Federation. So some of our exemplars. Right now, Jesse Kastner is working with a community in Buffalo, looking at toxics release inventory and empowering communities to fight polluting companies, and actually they've been successful. This is an adorable picture of her son Eli, who is holding a model of benzene, which is one of the pollutants from the factory or the industry, and a monitor for benzene he's holding in the middle. So she's got him working at a young age to support her research. I love it. I'm personally working on climate change and health communicating risks with the D.C. Department of Health. I've done some epidemiological work, actually, that I talked about this morning. But as a result of our findings in that epidemiological work, looking at climate indicators and health impacts, we are zeroing in on African-American children who are at great risk for hospitalization due to asthma, and working with African-American parents of these children to help them prepare and adapt to these climate changes in a way that will protect them from being hospitalized. Two nurses did a presentation on health and natural gas industry, Lenore Rezek and Joyce Nestrick. I'm not sure if I'm saying their names right, but they just presented this information at a recent conference looking at physical harm and health impacts as a result of fracking in community neighborhoods. Stephanie Chalupka has done research that's been published on healthy homes and looking at environmental asthma interventions in diverse urban communities with some pretty astounding results. ER visits decreased by 81%. Asthma attacks decreased by 76% as a result of this work. I won't read it this all off, but health really truly improved as a result of the in-home environmental asthma intervention. We were invited by the International Journal of Human Caring. Annie was specifically targeted to submit articles to this journal. They wanted to focus on earth caring. And so Stephanie and I, partners in crime, created this model to integrate practice, nursing practice, with a more holistic vision of earth caring, and incorporates human flourishing, evidence-based practice, and critical thinking that we're hoping gets published. And future directions, We're continuing to build capacity in the area of research through peer mentoring on our calls, mentoring nursing students in the area of environmental health research, incorporating them into our research projects, increasing our dissemination of findings at meetings such as this, sharing our database of articles and research tools, particularly in the research work group calls. We're very open to sharing the tools that we've been using to other nurses that might be tackling the same research questions, and always to help advocate for more funding. So it's a really, really good resource. Practically Green, and we'll in the discussion session maybe talk a little bit more about what this provides, but you can log in and find out where you can improve your own personal behaviors to become more green and reduce your carbon footprint. But there are plans to utilize this data and report on this data to see how nurses compare and improve. So there's a lot of cues so that they send you, oh, have you decided to do this? Like, you know, put a water saver on your shower head. Have you done this? And it kind of cues you to do something you said you were going to do. We talked about the nursing research societies. If any of you are particularly involved with those, I'd love to chat with you to see how we can sort of crack that nut. I've talked about the journal that we're planning on developing, where we will be looking for people to write articles and submit, so please keep us in mind. And as been said before, we have a lot of cross-cutting issues across our work groups, including pharmaceutical waste, chemical policy, climate change, fracking. We could not do this alone. Nurses are great partners. And so we have been able to leverage a lot of success through a lot of different groups who do come knocking on our door when they need testimony or I just got an email from Catholic Health Association to be on the Hill next week. To chat with Gina McCarthy and others about climate change. Unfortunately, I can't do it, but they knew that they could tap into us, and I asked Stephanie if she'll do it. So anyway, we celebrate our successes. The Charlotte Brody awardees include Brenda Afsel, myself, Karen Bowman, Stephanie Chalupka, and Barb Sattler. Again, this is directly related to policy and advocacy and recognizes nurses through Healthcare Without Harm for the work they've done in promoting environmental health. Environmental health leadership positions. We have had a number of nurses on the Children's Health Protection Advisory Committee, which is an EPA federal advisory committee. Currently, Jean Leffers is our representative and is chairing the Committee on Social Determinants of Health for the EPA to really take a much more comprehensive look at how social determinants of health impact children's environmental health. I also sat on the National Drinking Water Advisory Committee a few years ago. Another list of how nursing has been a leader in a variety of ways. National Environmental Health Partnership Council, which is sponsored here at APA, APHA with Resolve. Tom Engel was a rep. I will now be filling his shoes, hopefully just fine. I also sit on the National Environmental Justice Advisory Committee Research Work Group. That report is coming out soon. And several of us have sat on the CDC, ATSDR's National Conversations for Public Health and Chemical Exposures. So I'm running out of time, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much to all of you. It's such an honor to work with such awesome nurses. And we'd like to open it up for any questions. They're having a party over there.
No questions? You're just wowed and awed and you're sitting there? Don't you want to join us? Don't you want to?
Rita,
your work on us.
Well, right now we're mostly looking at foundation funding, but I would say in environmental health, if you're starting to want to look at projects in your neighborhood or the city that you're living in is there's a lot of state-based funders that like this type of work. So looking in your state,
talk about USCAM. You didn't mention that at all. Climate Action Network.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and so we were able to just get a mini grant through the U.S. Climate Action Network. We're creating a video CE for nurses on climate change. So that'll be coming out probably around the first of the year, so be on the lookout for it with free CE for the first couple hundred nurses that take it. So there's opportunities like that. You just have to, you know, it can be a challenge looking to find it. But, yeah, but I think the state-based work, there's a real interest in this right now, and I think nurses make such a compelling case for funding this type of work that for these state-based funders, I think that it's not really heavy lifting to do that.
Okay. When's the journal coming out? I'll let you know. We're ready to go. We just need to get through the process you know, the details and the business administrative stuff to make it happen.
Online
No, it's going to be a regular journal. Yeah.
And also, before we close, in case you weren't here when we started out, we're having a fun get-together tonight from 6 to 8 p.m., light refreshments and margaritas.
Margaritas.
Yes. Your name,
margarita.
So we have little flyers in the back on it. It's at Papagayo's, which is a Mexican restaurant just down the street. So we hope you can join us. We're also doing a conference on fracking for nurses, looking at the public health impacts. It's just in a couple weeks from now, on November 16th at Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania, and there's information in the back. It's $50 for a full day session with CE. And we've got world-class speakers such as Laura Andrico and Kathy Curtis will be there. So it should be a great day. And I think there's also, I brought copies of our fracking fact sheet, which nurses developed. And what's been really great is we've been working with a bunch of different advocates on the fracking issue, and no one had really tackled the health impacts like we have. And so organizations all across the country are now using this fact sheet, and they're like, oh, we needed this for so long, and finally someone's created it. So you can really make a big difference working together like that.
Mm-hmm.